scoot it, right? I'm scooching. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. A couple of you have asked. Karen is in Dallas and will make her way to Abilene. She's hanging out with some friends that they do this once a year. And so thought I'd share that with you. And appreciate prayers for her to have a safe and fun trip. Zane did a good job reading that. Did he leave? Oh, he's helping back there. I was gonna tell him he wasn't paying attention. You know, if you look at this, I know what you're thinking. Someone made a terrible mistake, and you read through that. Of course, he didn't even look down below, where you can just read it really simple. I mean, it says it. I put them up on the walls in places. I was going to do a PowerPoint, and I thought it'd be more fun just to, you know, you can take one home with you if you'd rather have a copy for homework. But it's just interesting. It's just interesting to me in Farrar's book when you read that. I have a tendency. I like reading like that. It challenges my brain, and I try and read about as fast as I can. But the two paragraphs are identical. And Zane said the perfect word. He says, well, I couldn't read it because there's no space. And as I said, it was the 9th century, 1,200 years ago. That's what written communication looked like. If you were reading Greek or you reading Hebrew or reading Latin, they would have all capitals and it would just go from left to right to left to right to left to right all the way down the page. No spaces, no punctuation, no way to tell the differences. And so some bright fellow came up in about the 9th century and said, hey, why don't we put some spaces in here? Spaces are important. It helps us to read better. Well, the Sabbath is God's space in your life. And the Sabbath is a very, very important topic. I think it's one of the least talked about topics at times. I think that somebody told me that, didn't Dan do like a big series on the Sabbath? So, and somebody said that he talked about it a lot, which I'm excited about talking about Sabbath, but I'm not going to talk about it a lot. We're going to talk about it just this morning. But I think it's important. It's the space protecting us from the 24/7 mentality because we need to be refreshed. I was thinking, overloaded, overwhelmed people need words beginning with R-E, right? Don't we need words that begin with R-E? Restore and revive and recover and recline, reflect, relax, replenish, renew, and then my favorite, recreate, which is recreation. You know, those are times that we should build into our schedules, that we should build into our days to rest our minds, to relax our minds. But also there was an intention on God's part, which was to reflect on Him, to think about Him and to be reminded of the things that He has done for us. God created the world 6 days. Kelly touched on this in class this morning. He rested on the 7th day. God didn't rest because He was tired. He didn't rest because He was tired. He didn't need the rest. God doesn't need the rest. He rested to show Adam, to show mankind that it was important to rest. And he even talks about the importance of that from the beginning of time. The Sabbath, you know what's interesting? The Sabbath was observed by peoples and nations for thousands and thousands of years. And it's this Western civilization. It's just within the last 35 to 40 years that we as a nation and other industrialized nations have said, you know what, Sabbath's not that big of a deal. Keep going, 24/7. It's all about work. It's all about getting things accomplished. It's all about taking care of business. And so we're the ones that have abandoned it. The culture of 24/7 has kind of forgotten and ignored the Sabbath. Like this paragraph, you know, spaces are important. I was thinking as you're singing and talking about rest, songs, right? We have rests in the songs. I know song leaders sometimes get frustrated when people just blow right past the rest. There's a spot there in the song where we stop for a second, take a breath, and then we start going again, right? That's what the Sabbath is all about. Remember TGIF? What does TGIF stand for? Thank, and I'm going to say God thank goodness it's Friday. But thank God it's Friday. That, you know, I have never in my life, I mean, I'm 54 years old. I have to think about it. I'm 54 years old. I've never had a job where I worked Monday through Friday. Never had a weekend free, ever, in the history of my world. Okay, because I always either worked for myself, Some people would say, well, you're a minister, so you have Sundays off. Yeah, whatever. Okay, but we took a lot of Sundays. You know, Sundays were sometimes the busiest days for us. When we were in youth ministry, I was going to look down at Karen. I'll share it instead. You know, when we were in youth ministry, sorry, I'm so used to having somebody to look at. When we were in youth ministry, sometimes our Sundays were the days that we looked forward to the least. Because between the meetings and the luncheons and the special LTC stuff and the activities we had after services and the leadership training classes and, you know, our days were monstrosities of days. And then I actually had the audacity of being told that, you know, ministers don't do anything on Sundays. It was like, what? You know, that's kind of a bummer. We have a little bit of a different format. I mean, tonight we actually have an activity. Starts at 5. Bring your own dinner. And we're going to do a scavenger hunt. I did change the scavenger hunt because it's supposed to be rainy. And so I changed it to do something where you can actually go to houses and not have to be out as much. So that has been changed a little bit just because it's supposed to be raining. So hopefully you'll be here for that. It's for the whole congregation. But TGIF, for thousands of years, it was TGIS. Thank God it's Sabbath. And you know what? The reason I said thank God, because they really did. That's what they did on the Sabbath. They thank God. They thank God for the day of rest. They thank God for His leadership. They thank God for rescuing them. There were a lot of things that they thanked God for. If you're at least 50 years old, okay, you'll remember a time when the stores closed on Saturday nights. If you go back and you think about it a little bit, if you wanted groceries on Sunday, you had better buy them on Saturday. Because most of the grocery stores closed about 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. And if you're thinking, oh, I need some milk or bread or whatever, that's where you got to know your neighbors better, right? Because you had to go get eggs from next door or go get milk or sugar or something else because you weren't getting it from a store. Many Christians today are clueless about the Sabbath. I mean, they really are. They're pretty clueless about it. They feel it was an Old Testament concept. They believe it was a law concept, that it's no longer binding, no longer needed. But up until just a few years ago, every culture pretty much primarily said the Sabbath is an important day. And I'm going to show you this morning that I believe that God had never intended for the Sabbath to be done away with in any form or any fashion. Sunday is the space in the week, keeping other days from running together. Farrar wrote this, "The Sabbath was intended to be a gift to us, not a punishment." Is intended to be a gift. It's a timeless gift. God created us with a built-in need for rest. He designed us to find space in our lives. And I think that that is absolutely dead straight on. So what does the Bible say about the Sabbath principle today? There are four events or four people connected with the Sabbath. Okay? Notice this, four. I'm going to have a heart attack because I have 4 points this morning. It means the lesson's about 3 minutes longer than normal because there's normally three. I know. My pinky doesn't even want to come up when it talks about sermon ideas. But all right. So number one, creation and the Sabbath. Kelly touched on this morning. We mentioned it a second ago. God introduced the original concept of the Sabbath at the very beginning. God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh day. He didn't rest because He was tired necessarily. I don't believe in that. I think that He is trying to show mankind, trying to show Adam, trying to show all of us that it's important for us to rest. The term Sabbath means to cease or to desist from work or exertion. So to cease and desist from workers' exertion. Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3. Evan's got it up there. Thank you. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work." This is what I love about verse 3. "Then God blessed the seventh day and He made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done." He blessed it. He made it holy. Other versions say sanctified. He set it apart. So He specifically said, this is a day that we're going to rest. This is a day that's going to be special. This is a day that's going to be holy, set apart, sanctified. So God the Father is teaching Adam, His son, a lesson by His own example. Adam needed a day to turn off his electronics. Adam needed a day to quit naming the animals. Adam needed a day to quit doing what he did in the garden. And he did work. as we talked about this morning. He worked and he did a lot of things going on, I guess, in maintaining. It wasn't like he could go to Walmart and go buy his food, so he was going to have to go pick his food, and he was going to have to probably till the ground, and God was teaching him and helping him understand all those things. The Sabbath is right up there with other timeless ordinances. And I'm going to say this really slowly. Other timeless ordinances established by God at creation. We don't ever argue about, hey, how about marriage? Is that still important? Did Jesus talk about marriage? Well, he did go to a wedding, so I guess that counts. But did he reenact? Is it part of the new covenant? And go back to the beginning. Marriage was enacted. It was a timeless ordinance. Childbearing, sanctity of life, subduing the earth, dominion over the creatures, and again, work. Those were things that God put in place at the beginning of time. The creation ordinances were instituted before sin entered the world in some cases, but before God gave the law to Moses. Okay, so think about that for a second. The things that God started, the principles, the ideas, were before the law. And so you can't say, oh, the law circumvented what happened at the beginning of time, or the new covenant circumvented those. These are creation ordinances. And it's interesting to me how these ordinances are actively under attack. Think about that for a second. The ordinance of marriage is being challenged by those wanting same-sex marriage legal. It's being challenged by folks who say, yeah, I really don't care what God says. I'm going to do things the way I want to do it. The ordinance of having children is opposed by zero population groups, China being one of them. There's groups that are trying to do that here in America. Limit how many kids you can have. That's not, it's up to the government to decide that. The ordinance of work, rejected by those who desire a welfare state. Okay, work was enacted at the very beginning. It's important. The ordinance of subduing the earth. Now, I put in there wisely using the resources that God gave us, but they're resisted by these radical environmentalists who say, oh, no, the earth is more important than mankind. You don't understand how important. But we were given the right to the earth. The ordinance of dominance over animals. There's a few animal rights groups that would be petitioning outside the building today if they knew that I was going to say that out loud, probably. But you know what? We were given dominion over the animals. It was up to us to wisely use, but they don't have more rights than we do. And this ordinance of Sabbath, which has been challenged by the 24/7 mentality, but it's ignorance by Christianity as well. Because we want to say, oh, it's done away with, it's not important. It is extremely important, and I'm going to continue to prove that to you this morning. The creation ordinance provide a blueprint for how we're to live. So the creation and the Sabbath, but Israel and the Sabbath. Think about this for a second. Israel and the Sabbath, and how important it was to them. The Sabbath becomes this issue when the children of Israel escape the bondage of Egypt. Remember this? They escape the bondage of Egypt. In about Exodus chapter 16, as they're starving in the wilderness, as they start moaning and groaning and complaining, and as they did that so many other times within Scripture. But here in Exodus 16, God says, okay, I have a plan. I'm going to rain down food from above, right? I'm going to provide this manna for you guys. And I'm going to give you some ground rules, no pun intended. There's going to be manna on the ground, and you are to collect the manna. You collect just enough for you and your household. Don't collect more. If you want to collect less, then you can call that fasting. But you're not going to get more. If you go ahead and get more, and you try and open up a little store on the side to sell it late at night, for that little 7-Eleven thing going on, that's not going to happen. If you try and keep it overnight so that you can sleep in the next day, that won't happen. It'll spoil. I want you to learn obedience. I want you to learn some responsibility. I want you to go pick up the manna. It'll be there every day. I will provide it for you. But then something miraculous happens on the sixth day, does it not? On the sixth day, he says, now you collect for 2 days. And it won't spoil overnight. And if you don't trust me on this, go ahead and wake up on the Sabbath day and see if the store's open or not. Because it's not going to be open. There's not going to be any manna on the seventh day. And you're going to have to either go borrow some from your neighbor, or you're going to have to eat something else. I'm going to teach you this principle, all right? I'm going to teach you this principle. And we find it in Exodus chapter 16. Now, I just remember this as a kid growing up. Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments shows up when Moses is on the mountain. So even before Israel is given the law, this idea of Sabbath, this idea of rest on the seventh day was already showing up. He's reminding them, hey, I rescued you from slavery. I provided this salvation for you. I've provided for you. Remember me. Don't forget about what I've done for you. And that's how you can spend your Sabbath day. And then it's in Exodus chapter 20 that we read that the commandments are given to Moses. There's 613 commandments, but the big 10. And number 4, look at Exodus chapter 20, 8 through 10. Very similar language. He says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it, here's this word, holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, nor your daughter, your male or female servant, nor your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. So what does he do? He goes backwards, points back, and says, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Therefore, what? Oh, go back and read what he just said. I go back to the 6 days that he creates the world, and on the seventh day he rested. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. So he reminds the Israelites how important the Sabbath day is. He reminds them how important it is to not only rest, but to be reminded that the slavery that they were experiencing from the Egyptians was a big deal for 430 plus years. And now I'm going to take you away from all that. I'm going to let you build your own houses. I'm going to provide you with a land flowing with milk and honey. And I want you to work hard. And I want you to be responsible. And I want you to listen to me. I want you to see this great mountain in front of you and go, these are the blessings that I'm going to give to you. And I want you to work hard. But on the seventh day, I want you to chill. I want you to rest. I want you to relax. I want you to remember. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 18, God makes a covenant with the Israelites. And God says the sign of this covenant will be what? Not circumcision in this case. The Sabbath. He says the sign of this covenant is the Sabbath. So every single sixth day, or seventh day, I'm sorry. Every single seventh day, you'll remember the promise and the covenant that I made with you. Why is it a big deal? Again, 400 years, brutal existence. The Sabbath was a gift. Now, the curse of slavery shows up in the history of this country. Right? And even in this country, they say that there were taskmasters. There were slave owners. Some were nice. Some were sweet. Some were kind. But some were brutal. And they were really difficult for those slaves who worked for them. But even those slave owners gave a day of rest on the Sabbath. They gave them that day of rest. Not giving a day of rest was considered a terrible violation. It was considered inhumane. I want to throw this out to you. Even though we've conquered slavery for the most part in this country, we enslave ourselves. I know people who enslave themselves by their schedules and by their busyness and by their go, 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 go attitudes, and they enslave themselves to a schedule that's impossible to keep. And God is saying, I gave you a day to rest. It's a principle that goes even beyond eternity. Right? Because, I mean, we talked about that this morning. The book of Hebrews talks about, Gary mentioned it again in his community, this Sabbath rest. It's this idea that we'll go enter into his rest. We're going to go enter into this covenant with God that's on a grander and greater scale. So it's never disappeared in any part of Scripture. And I'll prove that here in the next part. Creation in the Sabbath, Israel in the Sabbath. How about Jesus in the Sabbath? How did Jesus handle that Sabbath? Jesus exemplifies the Sabbath for us. He interprets it. He defines it while he was here. When Jesus shows up here, I don't think Moses would have recognized the Sabbath because of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the day. I mean, he shows up and they've got 1,500 plus nitpicky rules and regulations that they've thrown into the Sabbath. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't walk here. You can't do this. You can't. I mean, it's just 1,500. The Mishnah, this written oracles of the rabbis, it's like an Encyclopedia Britannica on the rules and regulations. You can't pick up this much. You can only pick up, I mean, literally picking up a certain amount of, you know, if you want to eat honey on a wafer, the wafer can only be so big and there can only be so much honey on it. You know, because otherwise that's lifting and that's work, and then God's going to condemn you over it. There were six occasions in the New Testament where Jesus went head to head with the religious elite on the Sabbath. Six times. I mean, he healed on the Sabbath. He did things on the Sabbath. But here in Mark chapter 2 is where I want us to pay attention. If you remember the story, Jesus, it's the only one I'm going to talk about. Jesus and his disciples are walking through a wheat field, and they're kind of walking through plucking the tops of the grains off, and they're gathering those to eat. And the Pharisees look and go, "Oh, what are you doing? Why are your disciples breaking the Sabbath? What in the world is wrong with them?" And Jesus goes, let me remind you of something real quick. Do you remember David and his companions? I think Abiathar was the priest at the time who gave them the consecrated bread while they're in the temple. Jesus reminds them of that. And then this verse, Mark chapter 2, 27 and 28, he reminds them of the Sabbath, but he also reminds them of who he is. Then he said to them, Jesus talking, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Okay, he establishes a principle. And then he says, "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So he reminds them, Colossians 1:16, John chapter 1, both said that he creates all things, that nothing was made that was not made through Christ. So Jesus says one of these wonderful statements, "You guys want to tell me about the Sabbath? I made the Sabbath. You want to tell me about the Old Testament law? I wrote the Old Testament law. You want to start popping off about all your information and all your knowledge? I am all knowledge and all information. I am God. I made the Sabbath for you. I created it for your benefit. I didn't make man for the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath for man. And man's important, and the principles and the understanding of the Sabbath is important too. But you guys written all these rules and regulations and making this so impossible for the people to keep, they don't even look forward to it anymore. We're supposed to be going, thank God it's Sabbath. And thank God it is Sabbath. Because they spent the time that they were supposed to time in dedication and commitment to God. He doesn't abolish it. Jesus doesn't abolish it. He reminds us of its value. And over again within the New Testament pages, you can see Jesus reminding them of the things, the gifts that God gave them. So creation in the Sabbath, Israel in the Sabbath, Jesus in the Sabbath, and then number four, resurrection and the Sabbath. Up until the resurrection, what was the day they celebrated the Sabbath? You can say it out loud. Saturday, right? The seventh day. And we see, in fact, that even before the very day before, the disciples are celebrating the Sabbath. Did Jesus celebrate the Sabbath? Did Jesus? Yes, that would be the correct answer. Let me ask you another question. Did Jesus ever take time to just be by himself and hang out with God? And we say, we want to be just like Jesus. And then I hear people say, yeah, but the Sabbath, we don't have to obey that anymore because Jesus didn't repeat it. He repeated it. He just didn't do it verbally. He did it exemplifying it. He constantly went and spent time with his Father. He constantly took time away from the crowd. Sometimes he dismissed the crowd. You would think that he was like, yes, more people, more and more and more people. We want more people. And yet there were times when he goes, go away. Go spend time with your families. Go do your thing. I'm going to go spend time with my Father. I'm going to recover. I'm going to recoup. I'm going to relax. I'm going to spend time with God. Since Jesus rose from the grave on a Sunday, a significant shift occurred. A guy by the name of R.T. Beckwith wrote this. Kind of summarized it. He says, it's a striking fact the Jewish Sabbath almost disappears from recorded Christian practice after Christ's resurrection. The very day before his resurrection occurs, we find the disciples resting on the Jewish Sabbath, Luke 23, Mark 16, John 19. But after the resurrection, the observance of the seventh day is never mentioned again, except as a tolerated opinion for Jewish Christians, Romans chapter 14, verse 50. Or in passages where Paul reasons with Jews in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He doesn't do that because the observance of the day is a regular part of his own devotional practice, but because it provides Paul an excellent opportunity for evangelism. Because the Jews were still celebrating it on the seventh day. And he's like, hey, I know where they're going to be. I know I can talk to them about the Lord. I know I can talk to them about the resurrected Savior. And then I can tell them about the importance of the first day, which is the day that we all come together. And we celebrate his resurrection, and we celebrate his salvation. He delivered us too. And he gives us an opportunity to rest and to chill out. And then he promises this eternal, incredible rest. To rest in God's care, to rest in God's comfort, and to be with God. And to again, I mean, Kelly mentioned this morning, I love part of the transition from these lessons from New to Old Testament and understanding the concepts and how important those principles were. You know, but we just talked about this walking with God. You know, I mean, they walked with God in the garden, and then Jesus comes so that he can walk with them. And then the idea is, then you're going to go back and you're going to walk with God forever again, and you're going to be in his rest again. And how cool is that going to be? To be in the very presence of God and to have this world, this paradise, renewed again. I think that's just pretty cool. I don't know about you guys, but it just blows my mind thinking about it. So did the concept of a day of rest get downgraded or set aside after the resurrection of Jesus? No. I don't know where you would get that. I don't know. I don't understand. The reason is simple. The Sabbath existed from creation. Jesus sparked a change in thinking about the concept of the Sabbath. But here's the statement I like that Farrar makes that I totally agree with. Jesus set the Sabbath free. He set it free. He said, you know what? I want you to be mature. Take a nap, Cameron. All right? Right? I mean, camp is just hilarious. I mean, I think I mentioned this one time before. I'm pretty sure I'll mention it again. But we were talking about, we're going to extend nap time, right? And the high schoolers are like, yeah! You know, they're like, yes! And the little kids are all like, what? Oh, no! We don't want a nap time! You know why? Because they're immature. They don't know when to settle and chill. And I love the word teleos, and I preach on it all the time, and I love that word. But that word is perfecting or maturing. So the older we get, the more mature we get within Christianity, the more we should realize the importance of rest, the importance of slowing down, the importance of taking time for God, and rediscovering that relationship that we have with Him. I think it's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of immaturity when we don't listen to God and we don't want to pay attention to His idea of rest. How would you observe the Sabbath? Or how should you observe the Sabbath? These are just questions. Any way you want to. Because I think He set the Sabbath free. Is the seventh day the day that we should celebrate? Is it the first day of the week? How about every day of the week? Are there not moments in your week and in your day that you can't say, I'm taking some Sabbath time? I mean, the principle of the Sabbath started with a day. And he said, look, don't work on this day. And so if you take that to a little bit bigger of a measure, look at when Jesus said, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to go spend time with God. That's mature. I mean, he is the essence of teleos, perfection. And so he says, you know what? If you're going to enjoy the Sabbath, if you want to enjoy time with God, do it on purpose. Do it all the time. Enjoy an hour a day or 2 hours a day or 5 hours a day. Take the entire day off and relax and enjoy. Next time, Bobby, next time Becky says, hey, go mow the yard, go. Basket said I have to take a day off. And do nothing. Right? You remember that. That's what he said. And he's quoting the Bible, right? I mean, we do need to take. We live in a culture that is saying to us, you're worthless if you're not busy. You know, your success is based on your busyness and your go, go, go attitude. You know, it's almost funny in our household. The two of them are sitting right here. You know, Karen is worse than I am. I'd be like, sweetie, just chill. You know, stop. Sit down. I have to tell her something. Sit down. She's like, I don't want to. You know, she grew up in this household. I mean, and all four of the kids, her three brothers, they go 100 miles an hour because that's what they were taught. And I have to remind them, just like I'm reminding you this morning, God says we need to rest. We need to chill a little bit. It's okay to not work all the time. But he doesn't say don't work ever. He says work and then enjoy your downtime. I hope I've given you a taste of what the Sabbath was originally meant to be. You observe it and take advantage of it any way that you can. It's a personal choice. And taking today as a family to come together and remember him is one thing. But what you do with the rest of the day is up to you. And I think that's really important for us to pay attention to. Take advantage of a gift from the Creator. Remember to rest.